Joshua chapter 4. Very briefly to recap where we have been so far. We have been looking at types and shadows, and I know that most of you have been here, so I won't take very long with this, but just remember that in the Word of God, where we have been, Egypt is a picture for us of the old life. It's a picture of sin and bondage. It's a picture of where we were before we came to Christ. And as Moses brought the Israelites out of Egypt, he brought them to the Red Sea. And if you remember, the Red Sea was parted and it opened up and they went through. And that is a picture for us of our salvation, of our coming to Christ, of our coming into the waters, even of baptism, which speak of that and testify of that salvation. And it is a death, burial, and a resurrection as they went into the water, came out on the other side, went through on dry ground, and then the waters covered back over and Pharaoh's army was destroyed. And then what could have been a trip of 14 days turned into 40 years because they came to the bank of the Jordan River where we are this morning. They came to the Jordan, that generation did, and they had no faith. They were walking in disbelief and in rebelliousness in their hearts. And so they were not able to enter in and take the land of Canaan, the promised land, and had instead to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. And now, as we have, in our series, as we have come again, in the last few weeks, the new generation of Israelites, this next generation has come to the Jordan River, to the border of the promised land. Just across that border, just across that river, is their inheritance. Just across that river is the fullness of everything that God has promised them. And across that river is their place of victory and their possession that God has given to them. And we have seen our own lives in this story as they come last week. As we saw, the river was rolled back. We'll come back to that place in just a moment. And we have been talking about our own crossing. We've been talking about what it means to come into the fullness, into the inheritance of what God has for you and for me. What it means to walk in victory. What it means to have a definite cutting away of the things of the past and to walk in victory. Not as a defeated Christian, but to walk in victory. Not as a roller coaster Christian, but to walk in victory. Not as one who is always wandering and rebelling and murmuring and complaining, but to walk in victory. To walk in the fullness of what God has for us. To experience His promises in our life. For some of us, it is definitely a cutting away as we come to the Jordan. For some of us, it's truly a laying down of the wilderness. So much so that some who come to this river, some who come to this place in their life, as they cross over, will wonder if they were ever truly saved or not. God knows. But at the same time, for some of us, for many, probably most in this room, coming to the Jordan is kind of like this. See, there is a diamond that is one of the most spectacular diamonds in the world. It's called the Koh-i-Noor diamond. It is in the palace in England. Queen Victoria received it as a gift from a young Maharaja from India many years ago. He was only a lad, and yet because of his position and his family, they made a trek. Remember that India was under British rule. And so they came to Britain. And this young lad came before the Queen of England and presented her this diamond, this incredible diamond, which is still there today. Many years went by. And this young lad grew up and he made another trip as an adult to Buckingham Palace. And when he came to Buckingham Palace, he was granted an audience with the Queen. And he requested that the diamond that he had given her be brought from its resting place in the Tower of London to Buckingham Palace, and she granted the request. As the diamond was brought in to their presence, this now adult Maharaja took the diamond, kneeled down before the Queen of England, and said these words, "Your Majesty, I gave you this jewel when I was a child, too young to know what I was doing. I now want to give it to you again in the fullness of my strength, with all my heart and gratitude, now and forever, fully realizing all that I do." And so likewise for many of us, some of you may have come to the Lord as a child, or maybe you came as an adult, but there is a maturing. There is a time when we have perhaps wandered, and not been serious about the things of God. Maybe we did not even know the fullness that God even has a promised land for us. We thought, well, this is just the Christian life. I get saved, I get forgiven, and then I wander and I stumble and I fall and I never can seem to get it right. And yet there comes a time, many times God will bring you to a crisis in your life, to a place where you're just broken and you come to the bank of the Jordan River. You come for the second time. In other words, you came through the Red Sea. You were saved and you knew what it meant to be forgiven. And now you know that there's something much, much greater for you, not just in heaven, but in this life, that God has a promised land for you. He has promises for you. He has victory for you, that you don't have to live a defeated life all of the time. And you come to the Jordan River, and it's a place, as we have looked for the last few weeks, it represents death. If you remember, last week I said that the Jordan and the Red Sea represent the same thing, but it's a coming in a deeper and a fuller way. The Red Sea represents a death, burial, a dying, and a resurrection as they came through. Coming to the Jordan represents death. Now it's not just the dying, the recognizing the death of Christ on the cross, but it is dying to self. It is dying to our old ways. It is dying to those things that hold us back. And it's saying, God, I want to go all the way with you. And it's going through this river of death. Once again, recognizing it's the cross, it's the work of Christ, but we go in and we come out on the other side in resurrection power to walk with the Lord. Last week, we overlaid two images. If you remember, last week we saw the priests standing in the middle of the riverbed, and there they held up the Ark of God. And God, by His mighty power, shut off the Jordan River, and it rolled back all the way to the city of Adam. And the Israelites came and they passed through that riverbed. They passed right by the ark. They had been told to stay a mile away. And now they come and they pass by because they are now identifying with this thing. And they're coming through into their promised land. And we overlaid that as though it were a transparency. We overlaid that with the picture of the cross. Here are the priests and the ark in the middle of the riverbed. Here is our ark. Here is our new covenant. Here is our high priest, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. And all of us, as we pass through from death to life, we identify with the cross and we come out on the other side. He was dead, buried, and resurrected. Now keep all of that picture in your mind as we begin to look in chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood. And they are there to this day, as of the time of this writing. So the priest who bore the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people. According to all that Moses had commanded Joshua, and the people hurried and crossed over. Then it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over, that the ark of the Lord and the priests crossed over in the presence of the people. Skip down to verse 18. And it came to pass when the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took up out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. That all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Now this week we introduce new images. We introduce stones into this story, these stones that are significant to us as we understand this story, as we look into this story. And I want you to begin again to think with spiritual eyes and ears. You know, sometimes I'll be speaking of what was actually taking place in the riverbed. But I want you at the same time to put on your spiritual ears, because you've already been introduced to types and shadows, and you know that we are pointing forward to the cross and to the great work of our Lord, our Deliverer, our Moses, and our Joshua. And so this week, we see that there are two sets of stones. If you listen very carefully in the reading of this story, there are two sets of 12 stones. One set is invisible, and the other set is not. One set is buried in the Jordan River, never to be seen again, except perhaps during a time of drought. The other is carried to Gilgal and is set up as a monument, 12 stones. One is buried in the Jordan. One set is buried in the Jordan. The other is raised up out of the Jordan. One set is carried into the Jordan and placed into the riverbed, and then buried in the waters. The other set is brought up out of the riverbed in resurrection and carried 8 miles to Gilgal, where it is set up. Gilgal will become the place, the base of their military operations for years to come as they go throughout these battles that we find in the book of Joshua as they are taking their promised land. So two sets, one is buried, the other is raised. Very clear picture once again to us of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But much more than that, in addition, I want to begin to have you have this picture in your mind as we do every week. I ask you to have a mental imagery of it within your mind so that you see the things that are taking place. We're going to go a little further with it, but I want to point out one thing. Now that we have this picture in our mind, these stones that are buried in the Jordan River, I want you to remember that when the Israelites, 40 years before, had come out of Egypt under the mighty hand of God with their deliverer Moses, and they had come through the Red Sea, as they came through and the ocean closed behind them, something was left in the Red Sea. What was left in the Red Sea when they came through? Pharaoh's army, their enemy, remember, was buried in the waters of the Red Sea as they came through. They came through and the waters closed, and they rejoiced on the other side because their enemy was defeated and buried like a stone in the Red Sea. And likewise, when the high priest and the priests came up out of the Jordan River, and they came out up on the other side, and they brought the 12 stones and the Ark of the Covenant, and the priest all came up out of the river to go to Gilgal, something was left in the river at the Jordan. And that was the 12 stones that represented the 12 tribes of Israel. These are very significant, but I wanted to just remind you that Jesus on the cross, the Bible says, that as He, remember our first week, remember the cross is there and it stems the river of death. It cuts off the river of death. How many of you know that the Bible says that our sins have wages? The wages of sin is death. There is a river of death, but the cross is planted firmly in the middle of that river. And when Jesus died on the cross, He cut off sin, death, and destruction all the way back to Adam. And that is a picture for us that we see in this story. But the Bible also says that in so doing, He trampled over, He spoiled principalities and powers. He defeated Satan in his tracks. And I want you to keep this imagery of the rocks buried in the river overlaid with the imagery of Jesus Christ spoiling all of the powers of the enemy, just as Pharaoh's army was destroyed when their deliverer Moses brought the Israelites through the Red Sea. And so there's something left behind in that river. And we're going to talk about what that means in just a little bit. But the Bible says something that is very difficult for most believers to understand. And that is the words of the Apostle Paul. I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live. In the first part of the statement, I'm dead. I no longer live. And then he continues the statement and says, Jesus Christ now lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave Himself for me. I want you to see once again, as I have stressed in recent weeks and we'll come back to in the end today, we are united with Him. The Bible says we are buried with Him. We died with Him on the cross. We were buried with Him in baptism. We were resurrected with Him and we came up out of that river of death into new life. And if you have experienced this in your life, it comes out as this: I am a new creation in Christ. Behold, all things are new, and old things have all passed away. We're going to see the reality of this as we continue this morning. But my life is hidden with Christ in a riverbed in a place called Golgotha, where the river closed over, and I was buried with Him. So those 12 stones in the river speak of a death. They speak of a dying. They speak of a cross. They speak of a burial. But then the other 12 stones, there were 12 stones that were brought up out of the riverbed in resurrection. Before I continue with that, I want you to understand that why were there 12? And why were there 12 stones? Why were 12 men chosen? We know that the Word says they were representatives of their tribes. And you know, and you understand in the Word of God, that a representative in the Word of God, those whom He represents are included in Him, right? The Bible says that Adam was representative father of the human race, and through Adam, sin came into the world. But that the last Adam, Jesus Christ, came, and He now is the last Adam who defeated sin and death, and we are in Adam. I mean, we are in Christ. We are in the last Adam. We went from death to life. 12 were chosen. 12 stones were picked up. 12 stones were taken into the river by these 12 men, and 12 stones were taken out of the river by these men. It's important as we read the rest of the story that we understand that it was a picture. It was identification. It was for you and I. That those 12 men represent all of Israel. We are grafted into Israel, right? And so what we're going to see is that as they are representative, as those stones represent all of Israel in that riverbed. Remember last week? Last week they came into the wilderness. They came out of Egypt, but Egypt wasn't out of them. And then they came to the Jordan, they came through, and Egypt was truly cut out of them. There is a circumcision that we will see next week. And they come through, and now they've been removed from Egypt, and Egypt has been removed from their hearts. And now they begin to walk in power, and they begin to walk in victory. And so, what I want you to see in that is that these 12 stones represent you and I. 12 stones, because we are included in them, as you will see. So those other 12 stones were brought up out of the riverbed in resurrection. What do I mean by that? They were brought up through no power of their own? Could those rocks move themselves a fraction of an inch in that river? No. They were brought up out of that river through no power of their own, and they were carried through no power of their own 8 miles to Gilgal, and they were set up as a reminder to the generations to come. They did it through no ability of their own. They would have remained in the Jordan. And I would tell you this morning that if Jesus Christ had died on that cross and not come up out of the grave, you and I would be as lost as we ever were before He died on the cross. It is the power of the resurrection that brings us up out of that place of death and gives us not only the hope of eternal life, not only the promise that we will be raised again, but that we are raised. We are raised with Him. We are in Christ. We are seated with Him, the Bible says, in heavenly places. We were buried with Him and we were resurrected with Him and we came up out of that riverbed. They did it through no ability of their own, and you can't do it through any ability of your own. It's through trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. History and the Word of God is so beautiful and so amazing to me. The Holy Spirit records things in such a way to teach us and to instruct us. According to everything that I have studied, it is this very spot here in the Jordan River where John the Baptist came on the scene many years later preaching repentance. And what was it that he was preaching? He said, let the axe is being laid to the root. He was saying, allow the total work of God. They all called themselves the people of God. He was saying, get right with God and let the total work of God be done in your life. A surrender, a deep cutting, so that you know what it means to walk in life. That is what repentance is. It's not just believing. It is turning and it is allowing a cutting in our life. So John the Baptist came on the scene in this same spot. How appropriate that in this spot, this place of burial, he called people to new life. This place of burial, he called people to a cutting away of the old, that they might make room in their hearts for the new. And then in this same spot, Jesus came to John and was baptized in the Jordan. He was baptized. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit descended and anointed him. And he began to walk in power. He began to walk in might in that day as the Spirit of God rested upon him. And I'm not going to go into differences of opinion concerning doctrine and wording on this. But in your life and in my life, this experience, this is where you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is where you come. For some people, it's the day that they get saved. We have an example of that in the Word of God. The Apostle Paul had such a dramatic conversion experience on the road to Damascus. And he so surrendered. Because see, we talk about a baptism in the Holy Spirit. Praise God for it. But it doesn't come without a deep, deep work of the Lord. It's not just getting something that makes us speak in another language. Praise God for that. I believe in that. And I have practiced that. And so I believe in that aspect of it. But it's far more than that. If it's not a cutting away of the flesh, if it's not anointing to walk in this life in a way that witnesses to the people around you that you're saved, and you not only are saved, you have power to live a saved life, then it's nothing. It's nothing. It is when you come to the Jordan, for the Apostle Paul, all in one moment. But for most believers that I know, there is that salvation experience, but maybe they're not taught that there is anything on the other side of the Jordan. Maybe not. They're not taught that there is a fullness and that there is a power. And so it's when they come, and as I said before, many times it's a deep, deep dealing with the heart. Many times it's a cutting. Many times it's a crisis that God allows in your life in which you come, and you're dissatisfied with the wilderness. You've walked as a compromised believer for too long. You're dissatisfied with being a roller coaster Christian. You're dissatisfied with up and down, and with failure in your Christian life. And you come to this place and you say, God, I have lived my own way for too long calling upon your name. And now I want to come to that place of death. Death to self. I choose your way and I choose your will for my life that I might walk in power and that I might walk as a victorious Christian. And God fills you. He fills the person who is emptied of self. He fills you that you might live a victorious Christian life. And I would ask you this morning, beloved, why die in the wilderness? Why would you die? Why would you want to wander? Why die in the wilderness when God has an inheritance in Canaan for you? Why? Why wander and struggle and strive and compromise and invite so many problems that otherwise would not be there when God has a promised land for you? What is it? What is it that so intrigues you in this life? What is it that you so cling to and are so charmed by in this life that you can't release it, yield it to the Lord, that you might have what He has for you across the Jordan? A life of abundance, a life filled with faith and power to walk in the victory that God has for you. In the last half of this message, I want to speak to you and bring out three things from this passage of Scripture. The first is this. I would ask you the question, why were these stones really left buried in the Jordan? We understand bringing the stones out of the Jordan, placing them in Gilgal. But why these that are hidden away for no one to see? I take you back to the Scripture that I quoted a few moments ago, and I say to you that it is not a Scripture that many of us understand. I'm including myself much of my life. I would read these words. I am crucified with Christ. But that's the Apostle Paul. I am crucified with Christ. Therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. And the life I once lived in the flesh, I now live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave Himself for me. I am crucified and yet I live. And I want to tell you, I have stressed this the last few weeks and I come back to it again and again. I want to tell you that I am crucified with Christ is not something that you say because you have attained some level. I am crucified with Christ does not mean I'm no longer me, for those of you who are afraid. I am crucified with Christ doesn't mean my personality is wiped out and destroyed and I become this automaton, this robot that says, oh, praise God, I have come through the Jordan. Hallelujah! And now I have arrived. I am crucified with Christ as though you've attained some level and you never struggle anymore. There are never any giants. Remember, there are giants in Canaan and there are setbacks in Canaan. Just because you've crossed into the Jordan doesn't mean that you live a life without ever stumbling, without ever struggling. There's a huge difference, however, between Jordan and the wilderness, as we will see. And when I come into the Jordan and I am crucified with Christ, beloved, it is by faith. Again, I tell you, it is by faith. It is not by works. It is not because I finally reached some level in my Christian life and now I can say, like the Apostle Paul, I am crucified with Christ. No, it is faith. And I struggle and I stumble. You say that's contradictory. No, it's not. No, it's not. I struggle and I stumble. You'll see what the difference is in a moment. I struggle and I stumble, but I've come through the Jordan. Make no mistake about it. I've come through the Jordan. I struggle and I stumble, but I know I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live, and it is by faith that I apprehend that. It is not that I understand it with my intellect. It is by faith that I know it and that I believe it, and it makes a huge difference in my walk with the Lord. You see, here is the mystery of it. We live in two places at the same time. We are the stones buried in the Jordan where we died. And we are the stones lifted out of the Jordan and carried to Gilgal. But it's not like either or. I came up out of the Jordan and I'm not there anymore. No, I am. Not I was. I am crucified with Christ. On that cross today, I am in Him. I am united with Him in death. And it's a daily dying to self. But I know by faith, not by how well I've done it or how long I've walked in it before I stumbled again. I know by faith that I am crucified with Christ. And therefore, I no longer live. But I was also resurrected with Him, and I came up out of the Jordan, and I am those 12 stones at Gilgal, where this military base is, where I now walk out the battles, where I now live in a place where with God's power I'm able to stand and say, I am crucified with Christ. And if you have come to that place of surrender, you are crucified with Christ. It's not a merit badge. It's not a level of attainment. It's a belief. It's a trust. It's faith. And I would ask you this morning, those stones were left in the Jordan. What did you leave in the Jordan? What have you left in the Jordan? And I would tell you this morning that if you can tell, if you can put it into words, if you can recount what you left in the Jordan, you will know. Here's a test. If you can recount what you left in the Jordan, you will know if you have passed over into the Promised Land. You say, well, I don't know what I left in Jordan. I'll give you examples so that you'll know what I'm talking about. At the very least, this is the Jordan. This place where you have left self-direction, self-will, all of that pride. Not that you don't ever struggle with it again, but there is a dealing with your heart. There is a place where you cross over and you say, it's not what I want anymore, God. And you allow Him to smite that part of your life. It's nailed to the cross. Lord, though I may stumble and fall, and though I need Your strength to do it, my direction for the rest of my life, I want it to be You. I want You to direct my life. I want Your will and not my own. Nevertheless, Jesus said, not my will, but Yours be done. And that is what you left in the Jordan River. You left self-will. You left self-direction in the Jordan River. For some of you, you can identify further certain things. You may be able to say, I died. I died that day. I died. I laid my rebelliousness in the river of Jordan. It was cut off. Rolled back. The reproach of Egypt taken away from me. I laid my hardness of heart in that river. My stubborn pride. I laid my craving for things of this world. This craving for things to fill this void in my life. I laid that in the river of death. My compromise. My disobedience. My lack of concern for the things of God. It's all back there in the river. Because I've crossed over. You see, if you can point to that. If you can point to that place of death in your life, then you know that you're not still wandering in the wilderness. No matter if some days they feel like it, but you're not wandering in the wilderness. You know if you crossed over. You know if there have been dealings with your heart. Such dealings by God. That you came to that place. And you said, Lord, I want everything You have. And I don't want what I have. I want You. The second thing we find in verses 5 through 7. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. And each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. They shall be a memorial. If there's ever a low water, those stones will protrude and they will remember, this was when we came over. This was when we crossed over. This is when we came into our inheritance, into our promised land. And the ones at Gilgal, these are the ones that say, we have a new place. We have a new life. Joshua said, do this because children ask questions. Because children ask questions. I want to ask the parents here today a thought-provoking question. Again, we're talking about if you've crossed. Has there ever been a time when you had such significant heart dealings with God that you left self in the Jordan, that your life changed, that there was a break with self, with old ways, so much so that you can point to that. You can point to that memorial. You can point to that time, perhaps that day in your life, and explain it to your children. Now, there are many different ways that we could talk about this, but as I pondered this, this thought came to me that I would like to use to illustrate this. I know that most of us don't have photo albums anymore. We look on a computer screen. So you can picture yourself looking in your photo albums, or you can picture yourself going through disks or files on your computer. But picture yourself sitting around the whole family. You're looking at pictures. You're looking at your family history on the computer screen or in an album. And you come across photos and then older photos and then older photos. And there are this journey that you're taking, there are photos of your family, and there comes up pictures of you at a time when somehow you were less than the man of God or the woman of God that you are today. And your children look at those photos and they say, Daddy, what is that drink in your hand? Or, that's a strange looking cigarette. And you say, son, that was before. That was before I crossed the Jordan. That was before. That is a different person. There's a place of death. See if you can identify that. Is there a time in your life when there was significant heart dealings between you and God? And you can point to that time and say, this is when I crossed over. Daughter, this is when I moved into what God had for me, and I had to leave old things behind in order to walk in the fullness of what God wanted for me. Mommy, where was that party? Well, sweetheart, that was before I crossed over the Jordan. That was east of the Jordan. That was in a different place. That was somewhere that we don't go anymore. That was a different time in my life. Daddy, you look so angry in this photo. Well, son, you see, there's a stone buried over there in a river, and it's got my name on it. There's a stone buried, and this is what I want you to hear. This is, have your name on it. There's a stone buried in that river, son, and it's got my name on it. And that anger is buried with that stone. It's when I surrendered. Or beloved, is it for you today that the snapshots of your life are all the same and there's no break? There's no change. There's no place that you can point to and say, that was before, this is after. Thirdly and lastly, this place of crossing, this entrance into Canaan, I come back to the point that I've been stressing. It is faith's possession. It is the possession of faith, not of works that you have done. It's not a level that you have attained. You won't attain it if you don't believe for it. You won't walk in your inheritance and you won't walk in Canaan if you do not believe that you have died with Christ. If you do not believe that your old life is buried in the Jordan. And if you do not believe that God wants to take you into something greater. Faith's possession. Remember, 40 years earlier, the nation of Israel had approached this Jordan and could not go in. And what do we think? If I were to ask you, why couldn't they go in? Most of you would say, as would I, oh, because of their whining and their complaining against God and their rebellion. But beloved, what I want you to understand is that those are just symptoms. Those are not what kept them from going into the promised land. The Bible teaches us that there was one thing that kept them from going into the promised land. And it is one sin. One overriding sin. It is the sin of unbelief. Lack of faith. Remember the 12 spies came back. 10 said, there are giants in that land, we can't take it. Joshua and Aaron said, yes we can. A picture of faith and unbelief. The Word of God says, whose report will you believe? Will you believe the report of the Lord? Or will you walk in defeat and in despair and in a compromised Christian life, thinking that that's all there is for you the rest of your life? They could not enter the promised land because of unbelief or lack of faith. Everything that God has for you and I is the possession of faith. The possession of faith. And when I can truly believe, I will desire to enter in, even if it means crucifixion to self. I will desire that place in the Jordan. See, the reason that you may not desire your inheritance is because you're still believing somehow that you can live over here in the wilderness and that somehow is all there is for you, or it's the best. You don't, or that you can't walk in victory, that the temptations are too great, that they're too hard. You've stumbled and you've fallen too many times and you've lived by your emotions for so many years. You say, I can't. But faith says, yes, you can. Yes, you can. God has a promised land for you. Beloved, it will not happen until you know, I'm buried in that river. There's a place where God dealt with your heart. I'm buried in that river and I believe Him. Today, when I don't feel like a Christian, I believe Him. I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. Is anybody here so great as to say, oh, I understand that. I don't understand it. I am crucified with Christ. I am buried with Him, raised with Him, and seated with Him in heavenly places now, today. Here's what this does when you have this. When I have faith, when I've crossed that Jordan and I've died to self, but now I have faith. When I fail, yes, there are setbacks in the promised land. When I fail, when I blow it, when I'm depressed, when I'm oppressed by the enemy, when I'm weak, when I'm tired and discouraged, when temptation is hot on my heels, when I don't even feel like a Christian, you say, oh, whoa, whoa, if you've crossed over into your promised land, do you have days like that? Yes. Here's the difference. And it's a huge difference. It is a world of difference, and it will make all the difference for you in your Christian walk if you've come to this place of understanding. When I was in the wilderness, I lived defeat, and I knew what defeat was, and I didn't believe there was any better for me. My heart was wretched, and I'm going to talk personally here. I'm going to tell you, I am just like you. Pastors aren't someone that's climbed up to some maturity level and is like, oh, I don't have bad days. Praise God. I have heard a few people talk that way, but, oh, I don't have days because I always walk in faith and I always walk in power. Praise God. And I claim it and I name it and I don't ever have the kind of things that you're talking about. I'm telling you, I do. I have bad days. I have days when I fall, when I stumble. I struggle with the flesh just like you do. You say, well, what is the difference between you and the one wandering in the wilderness? I'll tell you the difference. There was a time when I got serious with God. And there was a time when I came to the Jordan and I was sick of my old life. And there was a time when God had such harsh dealings with me. You don't want to wait till then, but until He brought me to my knees. And there is a time I can point back to that I said, slay me, I'm still going to love you. Slay me. Take the old life. Take everything. I only want your will for the rest of my life. And I came through that place and I was buried with Him, resurrected with Him. I came up in new life. Do I stumble? Do I struggle? Do I fall? Yes. But here's the difference. When I struggle and when I fall, I don't say, oh, I'm back in the wilderness. I get up and I say, I know He got hold of me. I know I am buried. It's faith. And it makes the difference in whether you can get up and go again or not. I am crucified with Him. Do I feel like it today? No. But I am. I am. I am crucified with Him. I am buried with Him. I am raised. And whether my flesh feels like it or not, or whether my heart seems like it's true or not, I have been raised with Him. And I am seated in heavenly places with Him. And therefore, no matter how badly I'm struggling today, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. The devil is not going to take me out of his hands. And before I go too far, I'm convicted and I get up and I say, thank you, God, for your grace. And I know that I can walk in victory because He's shown me. That's what doesn't change. Everything else can change. My emotions can change. My feelings may change. My walk may change. But I know that all of my sin, all my failure, all my rebellion, all of my self-will is on Him, on Calvary. And I desire what He desires for my life. And I know that I've come up out of that river. I have a new position. See, this is basic Christianity, whether you realize it or not. Those rocks were in that river. And by no power of their own, they were given a new position, standing upright, 8 miles away at Gilgal. And through no power of my own, through no good works that I have done, when I yielded it all to Christ, I was given a new position. I am crucified, buried, resurrected, seated with Him in a new place. And ultimately, because of that, I do not cave in. Ultimately, His hand is upon me. And I'm a new creation in Christ. Amen. Maybe this morning, as Carolyn, Wyatt, come, maybe if you would see yourself as the little Maharaja, now grown. You gave it to Him one time, your heart. But maybe it was not with full understanding. Maybe it was not in maturity. And now you say, Lord, when I was a child, I spoke and thought as a child, but now I'm a man. And I'm going to put away childish things. And you come and you give that diamond to Him again. And you do it every day. But you come and you say, Lord, I give it to You now with all of my heart. Everything that I am, take it. Take it and have Your way in my life, Lord. And find out what it means to have that full assurance. Let's worship the Lord. Let's stand.